I am glad that we are able to be here this morning. Singing all the parts to songs yourself is not the same as singing all the parts with everybody else. I hope that you found opportunity to worship God in your circumstance last week. I hope that you spent time in contemplation of the Word of God and Bible study and Bible reading as you had opportunity. But it's not the same as coming together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and raising our voices to God, or gathering together and studying and learning from His Word as we do in our Bible classes. I don't know how much you missed it, but it just messed my weeks all up. And all we can do is try to do our best in those situations. I'm grateful that you were able to get here, no matter what struggles you had to go through, to be able to get out of your driveways or down the road. I'm glad you're able to be here this morning. And we need to continue to remember our brothers and sisters with sickness and injury and those who are not able to get out just yet. I did talk to Brother Bill this morning, and he said it's getting there, but he can't get out his road yet. Continue to remember folks. This is the first Sunday of the month, and I started to do the lesson I had prepared for last Sunday, this Sunday. But we're doing song lessons this Sunday, on the first Sunday of the month. And the lesson I prepared for last Sunday was a lesson on unity that I'm trying to do at the end of the month. And that would have blown the schedule all over. And I'm really glad I decided to go ahead and do our song lesson this morning, because I've got a couple of folks that gave me some long list of songs years and years ago, and I'm going through those songs, and Gracie's here this morning. She's missed a few that I've done that she had listed, but it's not just because Gracie had the song. This is an important song for us to consider. It's something important for us to think about. God is love. And I kind of held off on doing this lesson because we were going through the book of 1 John and the Gospel of John, and there's a lot about the love of God in those books. And so we were getting that pretty steady, but I wanted to look at this lesson because while this lesson talks about God's love, it also emphasizes to us that we need to praise God because of His love. And so we want to look this morning at some things that we can learn from. It's song number 412 in our songbooks. We want to look at some of the things we can learn from this song, God is Love. And I think the first thing that we need to recognize is that love originates in God. In the text that Brother Malcolm read for us. And then later on in that same chapter in verse 16, John tells us, we have come to know... Okay, I see what I did there. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I started to read that off of my screen here, and I looked, and it wasn't the same as this, but I only put the last part of that verse on the screen. So, God is love. It originates with Him. It starts there. And if we want to understand God, we have to understand love. If we want to understand love, we have to understand God. That's part of what John is telling us. If we don't express love in our hearts, in our minds, in our life, we don't know who God is. We don't have knowledge of God if we don't have love. God is love, the chorus of this song tells us. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing. God is love. I think that's the main import of what this song is telling us, and I think it's an important lesson for us as members of the body of Christ, as Christians, part of the family of God. We need to raise our voices together and praise God because of His love. But as we look at each of the verses, I think we're going to find some more things about this idea of praising and honoring God and why or how we can know that God is love. And if we look at verse 1, I think the idea there, as I express it on the screen here, God is worthy of praise because of His love. Come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. I think first thing we consider is that we are supposed to praise God. Paul told the Colossian brethren in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're instructed to sing to God, and our song to God needs to include thankfulness. And part of that thankfulness is thankfulness for the love that He has shown unto us. I think we need to recognize that to begin with. Singing praises unto God is something that we are commanded, something that God desires of us. And as I made mention, it is something that brings great joy to all of us when we join together to sing praises to God. And we need to praise Him for His love. The psalmist in Psalm 100 verse 1 through 3 says, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people through and the sheep of His pasture. We are here because of the love of God. We are who we are because of God. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us, through Him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. God is love, and we ought to praise Him for the love that He has expressed toward us. But I think there's something else. If you look at the last part of that verse, if we were singing it, I guess I would call that the quieter part there in the middle of the verse where it starts. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make. We're not going to understand the need to praise God unless we have awoken from sin. Unless we have recognized the situation that we as human beings are in because we don't have God, we're not going to be able to recognize the joy and the love of God when we are free from that sin. Something that is only available to those who have freed themselves from sin through the plan of God is the ability to understand and praise God for what He has done. Paul told the Roman brethren, do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. To the Corinthian brethren, he said, become sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. You're in a situation where you don't know God. In order for you to know God, you've got to quit sinning. You can't understand who God is and what all He has done for you. You can understand there is a God, but until you recognize the wretchedness that you are living in, if you are living in sin, and make the changes God requires of you in order to be a part of His family, you truly can't fully comprehend the love of God. One of the things that comes to mind when I think about this particular situation here, and we know there are young people, there are children who are in the foster care system, or who have been adopted. And there's a number of reasons why that may be the case. But as long as they are in that system, they might hope for having that relationship of a family. But until they are taken into a family and become a part of that family, they don't really fully comprehend what having a family is all about. They can see bits and pieces of it. They can hope for it. They can look for it. They can desire it. I want that relationship. But you don't fully grasp it until you become a part of it. We could do the same thing with husband and wife. It may be something that you long for, to have a companion, someone who is walking there with you, by your side, who is helping you through life. But you don't really understand what all's involved in it and all the blessings of it until you're actually in that relationship. Until you are in a relationship with God because you've taken advantage of His means of freeing you from sin. You've awakened from sin. As Paul told spoke to the Colossian brethren, I don't have this on the screen, but until you put to death the old man and rise up the new man, you're going to have a little difficulty grasping all these ideas of the love of God. This is something that is reserved for those who belong to God. They're the ones who can praise God for His love. Let every soul from sin awake. For this reason, Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 5 and verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Understanding that God is worthy of praise for His love, and praising God for that love is something that belongs to those who are His children. Because they understand. We grasp the relationship that we have with God. And because we do grasp that relationship and we understand it, we ought to have strong desire to praise Him for His love. He is worthy of praise because of His love. He is worthy of praise because His love has made redemption possible. O tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. In Christ we have redemption found, God is love. His blood has washed our sins away, His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. We still see this imagery of it's the redeemed that recognize the blessings that they have in God. That has a more fuller understanding. Of what God has done for them. And the kind of love that God has for His creation. Our redemption through Jesus Christ is the story of God's love. John tells us in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In chapter 4, verse 9 and 10 of John, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God is love, and that love is shown forth in the sacrifice of His Son. The shed blood of the Son of God that allows me to be free from my sin. God has made redemption possible to us. because of His love for us. God loves us. Jesus' instruction to the apostles at the end of His time here on earth was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. When we take advantage of the provided redemption by being obedient to the gospel of Christ, by submitting ourselves to the will of the Lord and being buried in baptism, which we mentioned a moment ago, Paul talks about in the Colossian letter and in the Roman letter, we are buried in baptism, we rise up out of that watery grave, we put on Christ. As many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. It's the love of God that provided that means. We were bought with the blood of Christ. And we ought to praise God for His love. Now we can rejoice to say that God is love. Why? Because we have been redeemed. Christ's blood washed our sins away, and His Spirit turned our night to day. We went from walking in darkness to walking in the light. And as John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. This redemption is for everyone. Here's the second point I think we see. Well, actually, I guess maybe it's the first point made in the verse. But the second point that I want to consider from this verse. Oh, tell to earth's remotest bound, God is love. The song says, go tell those who don't know that in Christ we have found redemption because of the love of God. When I was a younger fellow singing this song, when I was a really younger fellow, I kept, this song keeps repeating the same thing over and over again. As I got a little older, I recognized, that's a good thing because it makes me remember that God is love. It helps me get that in my head and hold it there. It was only after I became a little more mature and started paying a little more attention to what was being sung in addition to what Scripture said, that I recognize this song is not just telling me God loves me. He says, this song tells me I need to tell everybody else God loves me. In fact, I need to tell everybody else that God loves them. Because He gave His Son so that whosoever we don't use that phrase, whosoever, very often. It means all y'all. It means everybody. Anybody. All your buddies and all their buddies. And their families and their friends. No one is left out. God provided redemption for everyone. And as I'm sure many of you have heard the comparison made before, if we know that redemption is there and we understand that redemption, but we don't tell anybody else about it, it's like having a cure to cancer and holding it to ourselves. Redemption is possible for every man through Christ and only through Christ. God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the Ephesian letter tells us, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And in the Revelation letter, chapter 1 and verse 5, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. The message of God is love can change the lives and hearts of anyone who will listen. And I capitalize listen in my outline. Remember, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because there was a lot of people that had ears to hear that did not hear. Kind of like when Dad used to accuse me of going in one ear and out the other. It's got to stop in there. Listen to it. Give attention to it. Meditate on it. Learn from it. And let it make changes in your life. God is love. How do we know? He gave His Son to pay the price for my sins. Sin? What is sin? It's violating God's law. It's unrighteousness. It's wickedness. It's evil. It's also not good. As in anything that is not good in the sight of God is sin. I used that word unrighteousness a while ago. Unright is the beginning of that word. We can be free from that sin. Anybody can be free from that sin. Because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. How? Well, as Jesus told the apostles, if they will believe and be baptized. As we read elsewhere in the book of Acts, if they will hear the word, believe the word, confess their belief in Jesus, if they will repent of their sins and be buried in baptism, they can be saved. God freely provided the means for us to be free from sin in our life. But we need to recognize it is up to me to make the changes necessary in my life in order to take advantage of that. Teeter's down here has taken the steps to make available to anybody that wants one to have a brand new Chevrolet pickup truck. If you'll go there and take the steps to acquire it. If you don't like Chevys, Fords. Yeah, Fords down here. It's freely available. Freedom from sin is easier to get than a new Chevrolet pickup truck. It's harder to hold on to. But it's easier to get. The means has been provided, and we should rejoice and we should join in unity to sing praises to God for His love. When we fully understand these things, when we understand these things more fully, I don't think we'll ever fully understand all the ramifications. We recognize that God's love brings us great joy. How happy is our portion here? God is love. His promises are spirit's cheer. God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Our God is love. The promises and protection that God gives to us provides us great joy. Paul told the Philippian brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. It's always amazed me in a sad sense, how people could have in their hands and in their life God working with them, working for them, helping them, guiding them through, and some little something comes up and they just fall into the depths of, oh, woe is me and how terrible this is. Makes me wonder if they truly understand what it means to be in a relationship with God. God is always there. When you lose a loved one, where do you turn? When sickness comes upon you, where do you turn? When your life is filled with pain, where do you turn? When you lose your job, where do you turn? I'm convinced that Scripture tells us our first place to turn should be to God because He is there to help us. That doesn't mean we don't go consult the doctor when we're hurting, when we're sick, or that we don't go put our name into the job listings and go searching for a new job. But I think first and foremost, we need to reach out to God and say, God, please help me. He is our hope and stay. He is our strength. He is our shield. His promises and protections provide us with great joy. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Ephesian brethren. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, beginning, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God." I wonder if we stop and consider the situation these brethren were in or had been in or would be in very shortly after receiving this from Paul. Ephesus, that's the place where the temple of Diana was. That's the place where Paul's friends said, don't go in there, when they were having the riot in town, because they knew that it would lead to serious injury, if not death, for Paul if he showed up. They already were causing problems for Christians there. That's the place where they had to deal with the trade guilds, as we talked about when we were studying the letter to the Ephesians in the book of Revelation. They had to deal with economic uncertainty, with being outcast in the society in which they lived. They were dealing with all sorts of things. And what Paul said is, you turn to God. I want your blessings to come from God. I think it's important for us to recognize that. And when we truly comprehend that God is on our side, no matter what happens, and if we overcome, there's a place waiting for us in the eternal kingdom of God. We can have great joy in this life because we can know that God is there to shield us and to help us. And remember, later on in that same letter, Paul said, I want you to take up the armor of God so that you can fight against the evil. God protects us through His Word. But also the promise of salvation through Christ gives us hope. We've talked about being redeemed. We've talked about being free from our sins. But it gives us hope for something beyond here. There are millions of people walking through the world thinking that this is all there is. And wondering why. What's the point? If this is it. Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, But we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Take note of that. Our tribulations actually bring us to our hope. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." We've been separated from the wickedness of the world through Christ. And that gives us hope of remaining separated. And that hope is in the glory of God. And we'll touch on it a little more in just a moment, but that hope points us to heaven. And God has promised to protect us and support us. And through that promise, we have strength to bear up under the difficulties and struggles of this life. In Romans chapter 8, in the latter few verses of that chapter, beginning at verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulations, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Just as it is written, "For your sake we are put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And again, I want us to stop and consider who he's writing to. These were Christians living in the city of Rome. You talk about the evils of the Roman Empire. Rome was the center of them. And Paul said, none of these things can separate you from God. Nothing. We, through the love of God, have hope of remaining right in the sight of God, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to quote from the psalmist. Even though we're walking through the midst of the wickedest and most terrible things that have ever happened on this earth, we know God will protect us and give us strength to bear up under them, to overcome, if we put our hope in Him. Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, the Hebrew writer tells us. "For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" When I read this verse, I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 6. Don't put your trust and hope in the things of this world. Don't place your worries in what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, how you're going to eat. These are the kind of things that Gentiles, those outside of Christ, deal with. You put your hope, your focus upon God, and then no matter what happens with these things, God will take care of you. Man can't do anything to you. In Psalm 136, we have a song that in some ways is somewhat similar to the song that we're talking about. Because it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting." I know I'm not reading all of those every time. "To Him who made the heavens with skill, to Him who spread out the earth above the waters, to Him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon to rule us by night, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to God because His loving kindness, His charitable love, His love lasts forever. I encourage you to go read that whole psalm. Read it out loud. Even if you read it to yourself, read it out loud. Thank God for His love. Now, in preparing this sermon and looking at other sermons and other material I have, I found out there's a verse that's not in our books. And I started to leave it off, but it kind of leads us right into an invitation, really and truly. Because this verse tells us that we should praise God for His love because His love leads us to heaven. In Canaan, we will sing again, God is love. And this shall be our loudest strain, God is love. While endless ages roll along, we'll triumph with the heavenly throne, and this shall be our sweetest song, yes, God is love. God's promised land. That's what's represented by Canaan there. Awaits us. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered His rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from His. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 in regards to Abraham and the characters that are made mention of there. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, and it was not on this earth. They lived the life that they lived because they were looking for something beyond. God's love provides for us a heaven. He provides for us a pathway to go home. And I couldn't help but notice the similarities in some of the phrases in this verse and some of the things that we've already been looking at in the book of Revelation and we'll be looking at later on as well in our Wednesday night class. Because in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, we read, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Why should we praise God for His love here upon the earth? Because that's what we'll be doing in heaven if we let Him guide us through this life. If we follow His pathway home, we will praise Him for His love. When the earth comes to an end, we can join the heavenly throng in praising God for His wonderful love. Look at Revelation 14, verse 1 and 3 is our last scripture this morning. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His name and the name of His Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of a loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. When we get to heaven, what a glory that will be to sing the wondrous love of Jesus and of God. And we will do that for all eternity. We will join the throng that is there in heaven praising God all day. Well, I started to say every day, but there's only the one day in heaven. forever and ever, we will praise God for His love. God loves you. I recognize God is more than love, and we have other lessons we've looked at that talk about other attributes of God, and we'll continue to do that. But everything about God is founded in love, because God is love. And if we will submit to Him and serve Him, He will protect us, and He will guide us to safety. I think it's important that we let the understanding that God is love fill our hearts and minds every single day. It reemphasizes to us each time what God has done for us, what God is continuing to do for us as we keep our minds and hearts in His Word, and what He has provided for us and what we can be a part of when this life is over. The question for each of us this morning is, are you taking advantage of the love of God? Have you listened to His Word? Have you submitted in obedience to that Word so that you can enjoy the blessings of God's love? God loves you. God loves His children even more. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. He blesses and blesses His children again and again, and provides for them and cares for them. And if we will let Him, He will take us by the hand, so to speak, and lead us home to heaven, if we submit to His will. Are you living in the love of God? Do you understand what God has done for you? And have you taken advantage of it by being obedient to His will? God is love, but we must answer the call. We must listen to what He says and be obedient to it. We need to, as the song we're about to sing tells us, let Him have His way with me. If you look this morning and find your subject to the invitation of the Lord's, we ask you to come while we stand and sing for encouragement.